the Redeemer and the one who sustains us. Amen. Please be seated. For years, Karen watched in awe as her mother prepared the Christmas dinner for the family. It was a labor of love, steeped in meaningful tradition. And after Karen married, she began hosting the holiday meal and invited her mother to help her in the kitchen. As she prepared the ham and began to place it in a large pan, her mother shouted, "Wait! You haven't cut off the end of the ham yet!" Karen said, "Oh, Mom, there's no need to do that. There's plenty of room in this pan for the ham, and we can add carrots and potatoes, too." Caught by surprise, her mother said, "We always cut off the end of the ham, and we've never cooked it with vegetables." Seeing that she was upset, Karen asked her mom, "Well, so why did you always cut off the end of the ham?" She thought about it for a moment and then answered, "Well, I guess I began doing that because the ham wouldn't fit in the pan. Eventually, it became a tradition." Putting her arm around her mom's shoulder reassuringly, Karen smiled and said, "I think it's time for a new tradition, Mom, and I hope my ham is as good as yours." Traditions and rituals are important to us. They remind us of who we are and from where we've come. They're familiar, and often they connect us to one another, to a time, or to a place. When we worship together, we practice rituals and honor traditions that connect us to God, to Jesus, and to the Spirit. In prayer, in song, acts of standing and kneeling, or even hearing God's word proclaimed, we come to experience this place as sacred. And the rituals are what shape who we are and what we believe as Christians. As we heard in today's gospel, traditions and rituals can also interfere with God and with others. Sometimes rituals become so important to us that they keep us from growing. Now, the Pharisees were a small Orthodox Jewish sect who sought to live righteously and to follow God's law with integrity. Their elders also mandated traditions and rituals for purity that they believed all Jews should follow. So when the Pharisees questioned Jesus about his disciples and their failure to wash their hands before eating, Jesus quickly directed the conversation away from the focus on the rituals and over to matters of the heart. For the priests and the scribes, the traditions of the elders had become more important than simply honoring God's law. And in this, Jesus saw a display of manipulation and arrogance on the part of the high priests as they put on this appearance of righteousness and yet were very quick to judge and to condemn others. As human beings, we have a propensity to create rules and rituals that appear to be good for everybody, but which instead sometimes are used to condemn and exile people from full participation in our communities. This is an example of what Jesus means when he says that what comes out of the heart, the impure, prideful, and self-serving actions are what defiles. Jesus makes it clear that the motivations and the intentions of our hearts matter far more than our external practices, our rituals, and our traditions. And that can be kind of hard to hear, especially when we love our traditions and our rituals. So let's think for a moment. Let's think about the rituals and the traditions we practice and honor here at St. Francis. Which matter the most to you, and why? Do these rituals enhance your experience of worship? Do they bring you closer into relationship with God? Conversely, are there any rituals or traditions that we practice that are no longer relevant to you? No longer relevant to our community, or that maybe, perhaps, have outlived their time? Is there anything that we as a community hold as truth and as sacred that might actually or inadvertently exclude someone? And if that is the case, are we okay with that? The only thing that is certain is change. And change is also the thing that humans most resist. We are creatures of habit, and so we cling to what is familiar and what is comfortable, to what has made sense for us or makes sense for us. But Jesus is all about change. He's the one who shakes things up as he moves people from one realm of understanding about God into the next realm. And he is seldom a proponent of doing things just for the sake of doing them. Rituals that are void of meaning, or that fail to open our hearts and our beings to God, or that put up barriers to participation for others, don't honor Jesus. Such traditions and rituals are like a pan that doesn't have room for the whole ham. If we get a bigger pan, we may find that there's room not only for the ham, but also for those vegetables. And Jesus reminds us that within our rituals and our traditions, God desires to be at the center, and that change can be good. But we know that change can be scary. Traditionally, in the Episcopal Church, we take a long, long time to change. One of our gifts as a denomination is our practice of discussion, and then listening, and then prayerful consideration, and then more discussion, and more listening, and more prayerful consideration, and eventually to a time then where we'll vote on what we think we want. And in this way, we attempt to honor each person's opinions and feelings and experiences as valid, even if the outcome doesn't make everybody happy. We recognize that to grow and to evolve, some things, including us, must change. Jesus beckons us to open our hearts to God, to carry God within us, and then to express the God within us in all that we do, including our beloved rituals and traditions, so that we honor the dignity of every person. And each time we open our doors wider, we run the risk of losing part of ourselves. But we also run the risk of finding ourselves in relationship with others. Over the last 40 years in the Episcopal Church, they have expanded and expressed an opening and a widening of tradition and rituals by moving from a very small pan mentality to a larger pan vision that gives room to others. Three changes made in recent years: the ordination of women, making the right of marriage available to LGBTQ people and inviting them in, and a movement from a closed communion table one that only welcomes the baptized, to an open table where all are welcome. 40% of Episcopal churches have examined this part of our doctrine, this open table concept, and they have opted to extend an open invitation to the table to everyone, thereby choosing to place Jesus' act of inclusion above man-made rules and doctrines. Such changes as these can be confronting and challenging, but they can also be life-affirming. Connection with the holy comes for some through belief. For others, it comes through action and behavior. And still for others, it comes out of belonging. We cannot predict when, where, or how a person will encounter God. But we can think about how we, as a church and a community, can be a place where encounters with God happen. More than our piety is the attitude of our hearts that matters most. God desires to be at the center of our lives, and Jesus reminds us that there is always room at the center for more. The good news is that when we open our hearts to God, God fills them with love. And from that love, we can find strength and courage to risk change, to try new things, to love one another without fear or worry of what we might lose, but with our eyes and our hearts focused upon what there is to receive. We can risk receiving more than we can imagine. Where might God be calling you to try on new things? Where might God be calling you to open your heart? Amen.